Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Moon in. You right? Hope you are. Pardon me. Someone in the chat called a plum suit. Sorry, not today. I'm blue today. I'm blue. It is 8. Sorry, I do that sometimes. Though. It's 0 minutes past 8 in the AM British summertime on Wednesday. It's already Wednesday, 1st of July. Pinch punch, first of the month in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for joining me. You're the glorious band, the chosen for you, my band of brothers. Basically the best people in the world that have bothered to turn up. No, thank you very much. It's great. Appreciate it. Get involved. Smash the like button. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Get the old bell on. Consider sending a super chat or a rumble rant. Of course, you're not obliged. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry Howard, this morning. Good, sir. Good. Great. Should we just get straight into it? There's no need for the faffing about, is there? Don't have to fanny around like that, do we? Let's just get straight into it. All right, so today it's about defence spending. It's a big defence spending day in the papers. And a little bit of football because England are playing tonight. Be prepared for I'll keep it to a minimum, as always. I know my people. But be prepared for tomorrow. Whatever happens, England win. And definitely if they get knocked out, it will just be every page. All right, here we go. Here we go. Defence black hole and Starmer's gift to Burnham. Poison chalice. Okay, the eye paper. They start with the eye paper. England expects. Okay, all right. Starmer's gift to Burnham. A £4.7 billion black hole in the first budget to fund war plan. So, if you met the overall budget, British defence budget, is something on the order of 80 billion, I think, a year. Something like that. And so you might remember the numbers that get bandied around, even I've reported that the defence establishment wanted another 18 billion. So that's on top of many, many more billions already. The whole budget isn't 18 billion, 15 billion, 13.5. That's just the increase of it. Okay. They wanted a minimum, bare minimum, they were saying. Scraping the bottom of the barrel needed 18. Starmer says, I'll give you 13.5. Wasn't enough. Now he's saying 15. Then he said, just it was reported over the weekend and yesterday and Monday. Give you 15. Well, turns out there's only like 10 and a bit, and that other 4.7 billion, is just yeah. Well, it's up to you, Burnham, to find that. We haven't actually got that, despite us spending untold on other stuff like foreign aid and welfare for our invaders, the millions of invaders that are here. Okay, the blurb on the iPaper is about the best thing you get off Fleet Street. Let's have a quick read. Outgoing Prime Minister risks political row. He won't care. He'll be out of office. He won't care. Risks political row with his likely successor. Again, absolutely doesn't matter. Once you're out of office, you're done. You're out. After leaving a third of the £15 billion defence investment plan unfunded. Again, I've said before, haven't I, that when you're in opposition, you can sort of say anything you want, within reason, obviously. You just sort of say stuff, just sort of pledge stuff. It doesn't matter, you won't be held to account for it, you won't actually have to deliver on it. Sometimes in government, they do that as well. Just say, yeah, we're going to do this now. They've got no intention of actually doing it, or no way to pay for it. They also do that sometimes. Okay. Burnham did not know the full details, the iPaper understands, but accepts that the long-awaited strategy is now settled. I mean, Burnham won't re-look at it and re-evaluate it and rejig it in any way. Who knows? They're going to coup Starmer out and put a new man in who hasn't laid out his plans in any real detail. Great. Starmer says it will equip the armed forces for potential conflict with Russia by 2030. Why are they hell-bent on Russia? It's not the Cold War, is it? The Donbass has got nothing to do with us, ultimately. £64 billion will go to UK's nuclear deterrent and £11 billion to boost weapons stocks. But critics say spending falls short of what was promised. Well, it does. Okay. Extra military investment will be funded in part by shelving road and energy projects. Heaven forbid they should shelve welfare spending in any way. Like road building projects and energy projects. Right. After, in my opinion, I think a lot of people's opinion, after immigration, perhaps energy is the most important, most existential question of our age. Isn't it? So to have that put on the back burner. It would be a balancing act. I wouldn't particularly like to be the Chancellor of the Exchequer or sort of a senior Treasury official who would be stuck between a rock and a hard place unless fundamental change in how government is done, i.e. looking at truly lower spending across the board in loads and loads of different ways, which is politically, of course, politically very, very unpopular. Going back to sort of a true austerity, true sort of austerity. 1940s, 1950s level stuff. But in order to balance the books so we don't completely go bankrupt, have to borrow loads and loads and loads of money off like what, the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund, or in fact default on our debts and become, financially speaking, a world pariah, like the Russians did in the early 90s. Become a laughing stock. All investment just flees because you're a joke. And what's wrong with defaulting on your national debts? Investment flees. Because you just cannot be trusted. Like a normal person that's got loads and loads and loads of debts all over the place, and you keep telling everyone, yeah, I'm going to pay you back, I'm going to pay you back, I'm going to pay you back, and at some point you go, no, I've just filed for bankruptcy, you'll never see any of your money I've borrowed. Well, from that point on, everyone's like, well, okay, I'm certainly never, ever, ever going to give you another penny ever again, ever. It's like a bit like that. So, okay. We do need to balance our budget, or at least draw it back from the precipice. But no, they'll just keep going and shelf projects to like make our roads any better. And they're terrible. Just keep giving Ukraine billions. Burnham said he's committed to keep giving Ukraine billions. Make sure a small clique of Ukrainians can embezzle yet more of our billions, but don't fix our roads. Got it. Right. Make sure we give Pakistan and India billions. Let's make sure we can fund a Pakistani airport in Pakistan, but our roads crumble. Right. The Times, the venerable Times. England are going to play Congo. All right. Migrants can't avoid deportation by having families after arrival. So here's a bit of red meat. Classic bit of red meat. Gaslighting, basically, in my opinion. But Shabana Mahmood and the Home Office have said that if you're an illegal immigrant, and you come over here and then you get in a relationship and have a kid, that won't prevent us from deporting you, as it has done in the past a lot of times. A court will rule, oh no, they've got a kid now. So we can't deport any of them. She's saying, that won't stop you under my new harsh rules. We'll still deport you. Don't believe that. Simply don't believe that for a single moment. That's just a tiny bit of red meat. Nothing more. Liars. Even if they did make a Home Office sort of rule about it, it just wouldn't get enforced. I'm sure. That's exactly the sort of thing. We've been through this, what, dozens of times? Over the decades, maybe hundreds of times, something like this. Oh, here's a new hardline rule that's in the natives' interests. And then it just never, ever happens. Or if it does, then it's just simply not enforced. Or they'll try to enforce it like one time and a judge will strike it down and then that's it. And then they shrug their shoulders. Well, we tried. You could reform the judiciary in some ways. You could leave the ECHR and a number of other mechanisms that allow judges and lawyers to do this. No, we'll just shrug our shoulders. They want to be able to throw out a bit of red meat and then get defeated on it and then shrug their shoulders. That's what they want. That's their game plan, has been for a very long time. Okay. Starmer puts Burnham in £5 billion defence black hole. PM in waiting, must raise taxes or cut spending. He doesn't want to do either of those, does he? Well, he does want to raise taxes, actually. He doesn't want to cut spending. If he cuts spending at all, I'm pretty sure the left of the Labour Party will begin to despise him as much as they do. But I mean, the hard left of the Labour Party already don't like Burnham. He's just an old Blairite to them. Remember, to the left of the Labour Party, the whole Blairite experiment and Gordon Brown years, all of that was wrong-headed and had gone down the wrong path, all of it. Burnham's a continuation of that, of course, isn't he? So the hard left of the Labour Party already hate Burnham. Whereas the slightly more centre-left of the party, though they're giving him, you know, this coronation, and they wanted him most of all, if he just starts cutting spending and things, they'll turn on him and they'll try and undermine him at every single turn, like they did with Starmer. Good. Yeah, I'd like a civil war in Labour so that they can't really govern, they can't bring in more and more measures that damage us. That's fine with me. Number of billionaires soars thanks to booming AI. It's interesting. There's not much more to it than that. It's just interesting, isn't it? If you do have a large amount of money invested in the AI sector, and this isn't financial advice, I'm not a CFA, I'm not a chartered financial analyst. It's not advice. If you're one of those people, maybe consider cutting your losses at some point, or not cutting your losses, sorry, cutting your gains, taking your gains, pocketing your gains, getting out of the market while it's still good. Maybe. Right, that's what I would be considering doing if I had loads of money wrapped up in AI tech at the moment. Anyway, feels like a bubble. Might be wrong. Okay, the Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. The Express. All right, it's Chris Eubank playing tennis. They put Chris Eubank in a dress. He's playing tennis. It's odd. Oh no, it's Serena Williams. Sorry, my mistake. Labour blasted for prioritising benefits and leaving £5 billion budget black hole. PM still puts welfare ahead of defence boost. Yeah. To his last moment. Here's Starmer. Starmerbot 2.0. So his very, very last moment in government, doing everything he possibly can to undermine, while still being bellicose and belligerent about Russia. Isn't that an odd dynamic? Being extremely belligerent, but relatively belligerent, and failing to spend enough on defence. Both those things in tandem. Again, could you think of a sort of a strategy designed more to weaken us, put us in danger? Like spreading migrants across the country into every corner, every village, every town. You're trying to put as many people in danger as possible. Is that what you're trying to do? In fact, let's quickly, there's something on the Sun. Okay, let's go to the Sun website real quick. Look, this story, look. This little old deer, somewhere in the middle of England. Word on the street. I live next to Migrant Street. Do you remember that yesterday? If you watched the Bay Show yesterday, there's a whole bunch of new builds, £250,000 a piece, and they're just giving them all to asylum seekers. A whole street of asylum seekers. This woman lives next to it, where asylum seekers will get new builds. I'll never be able to sell up. So no one wants to live there, would they, really? Unless you've got little kids, or any women in your household. Nowhere is safe. That's the key, isn't it? With that Operation Scatter, or whatever they call it, Operation Schmear, I call it sometimes. I want to spread out all the particularly illegal migrants into every town and village and hamlet. Like, you're trying to make as many people as possible unsafe. That's the key to it, isn't it? That's the key. Nowhere is safe. Because, of course, not all illegal migrants are violent criminals and sex criminals, but per capita, many of them are. From certain countries, per capita, the rate of offending is astronomical. From places like Afghanistan, Somalia, Eritrea, in your tiny little homogenous village, suddenly there's a few dozen Somalians or Afghans, young, single, fighting age men. Are the women folk of that hamlet now safe? Statistically, not really, not anymore. So why is that the government policy? If it's not that you want us to be less safe. Terrible dereliction of duty. Absolutely insane, really. Okay. The Daily Mail. Nadine Dorries was taking tests, apparently. Don't care. Starmer finally unveils his defence plan, but there's a £5 billion black hole, and the Ministry of Defence has to make £10 billion in cuts, and there's still no date for spending to hit 3% of GDP. It's indefensible. Clever play on words, isn't it? Indefensible. Yeah, it is a bit. I mean, if the government had been not bellicose and aggressive on the world stage, particularly against Russia, that would be one thing, wouldn't it? If they were like some sort of like Gandhi-type pacifists, we hate war at any cost, you know, something like that. We don't want to be involved in foreign conflicts pretty much ever under any circumstances. That's not who we are. That's not morally or ethically what we think is the right thing to do. And the result of that is that we will cut defence spending or just not spend as much as required on defence. Okay, that would be one thing. People wouldn't be happy with that. I wouldn't be particularly happy with that. But that would be one thing, right? That would have some logic to it. But no. It is we must be ready for war with Russia as quickly as possible. And here's way less money to do it with. Okay. The Metro. Yeah. Metro. Rank. Disgusting. £80 billion defence scheme announced. Britain needs you. Like Kitchener. Look at the picture that they're pointing. Like the World War One, Lord Kitchener. Britain needs you. To queue. On the roads, on the motorways. Britain needs you to queue up because they're cutting spending on roads. Look. Starmer reveals his long-awaited defence spending plan, including new nuke warhead. Be very, very, very expensive. But jam-busting road projects, traffic jam-busting road projects, will have to be sacrificed to free up cash for UK's war readiness. Yeah, we haven't got enough money to just do what we want. We're not the United States. We're not China. There's not just an endless amount of money to keep funding all the things you want to do. Our economy is balancing on a knife edge. Our growth is what, like 0.3% or is it 0.6% or 0.5%? And it is hovering around there and will continue to hover around there, maybe even dipping into recession. We're not a rich country. I always find it funny when our detractors and enemies say, why are you still pretending you're like you still some sort of throwback of to the empire that you're still a rich country? We're not. We don't. We've got no pretensions about that. Painfully aware, actually, if anything. Okay, The Telegraph. What's Mike Tyson doing in a dress? Mike Tyson got a handbag there. Oh, sorry, it's Serena Williams. My mistake. Starmer leaves $5 billion defence black hole. Burnham handed delayed action poison pill, they've described it as spending is pushed into next budget. Yeah, no Sterner Burnham. We'll have to find a bit of cashola from somewhere, won't he? Oxbridge diversity plans exclude white working class. Sure, why not? It has always been extremely difficult for working class, regardless of the amount of melanin they've got in their skin, it's always been extremely difficult for working class kids, no matter how brilliant they are, to get into Oxford or Cambridge. I mean, when I was young, well, doing like my A-levels, and before that, it's just extremely, extremely difficult. You could get straight A's, at A-level, A-stars, they let you do 4 A-levels, you get A-stars in all 4, and you do the Duke of Edinburgh Award, and you play rugby, and whatever, and on and on and on and on. Done loads of things outside of school that shows that you're sort of a very exceptional person. Be very, very, very lucky to get into Oxford or Cambridge. Oh, but mummy and daddy are rich and live in Chelsea, and daddy went to Oxford. You're in. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it still is to a large extent. But now throw on top of that, diversity quotas. So if you've got enough melanin in your skin, if your grandparents came from somewhere else in the world, well, now then, we'll look much more seriously at letting you in. At the expense of even more white working class kids. But that's equality. That's what equality means in their paradigm. That's equality. Sorry, equity. Sorry, equity. Equity. Okay. Axel Springer, the company, Axel Springer, completes Telegraph takeover. So yeah, this is reported in the Telegraph that they've been bought out by Axel Springer, which is if you don't know, is a German publishing house. The biggest one in Europe, I believe. It's a company. There was an actual man, Axel Springer. Pardon me. But he died of just old age or whatever in the 80s. And now the company is just called Axel Springer. There's not a living billionaire called Axel Springer. But okay. Oh, right. That's all. You get it. And they're German based, German owned. And they publish loads and loads and loads and loads of things all over Europe, including Bild. Isn't Bild one of theirs? I think it is. The biggest selling tabloid in Germany. So now they own the Telegraph. There you go. Okay. UK families hit by biggest global drop in wealth. Yeah, you can feel it, can't you? The amount things cost and the amount of jobs flying around, the amount of energy costs, the amount you're being taxed when you are able to earn anything. In real terms, you feel poorer and poorer and poorer and poorer. Suspected Ebola case in hospital in Glasgow. Oh no, Ebola. That's truly terrifying, Ebola. But it was in another website. It was shown that it's not. Yeah, look, on the ITV News. Patient tests negative for Ebola after suspected case in Glasgow hospital. Phew, bullet dodged. Meanwhile, still letting people in from the Congo and places like that around the world that's been affected by the latest Ebola outbreak. There's no sort of ban on people coming in and out of the country from that part of the world. It's probably a matter of time, isn't it, before there's an Ebola case in Britain. But okay, that one in Glasgow, although the Telegraph says there is one, or suspected, they're now saying it's not. All right. Okay. Iran clerics call for Trump assassination. They've done that a number of times, haven't they, since this war started? Yeah. And they've done it a number of times over the years. Ever since Trump blew up that Soleimani in his first term. Remember that one? It was an airport. Was it a Baghdad airport? It was an airport in Iraq, I think. He was in a car. He wasn't personally driving, I don't think. He was in a car and a US drone, some sort of smart missile, landed right on top. It blew him up. There's a picture of his severed hand on the floor with that ring, a unique ring he always wore on the severed hand. Ever since then, there's a big contingent of people in Persia, Iran, that would like to see the Donald assassinated. So that's not particularly new. They just reissued that call. The Guardian. Oh, look, Bowie. Remember Bowie? They had some good songs. I like Bowie. Left us too soon. Anyway, The Guardian. The Guardian. The Guardian. Gross. Absolutely disgusting. Oh, I thought DMX passed away. Wait, DMX has grown his hair out and put lipstick on. Oh no, sorry, it's Serena Williams. My mistake. Birthright citizenship upheld by US judges. Yeah, the Supreme Court ruled again. The Supreme Court have been busy this week, haven't they? Where in the United States, their policy had been that if you are an illegal immigrant, but then you get to the United States through fair means or foul. If you then have a child, at the very least that child, if it was born on US soil, the magic US soil, if it was born there, that child is a citizen. End of story. well, the Trump administration and the Republicans have tried to sort of change that or argue against that. That if your parents are illegal migrants and they're getting deported, the child should have to go with them and isn't a US citizen. Well, the Supreme Court said, no, they are. The Supreme Court held up that. Okay, the Financial Times. Europe's rearmament is sustaining 195,000 US defence jobs, Rutger says. NATO boss hails $300 billion orders for military materiel from Europe, to Europe from the United States. Economic case to keep Trump on side, industry urge to lift output. So next week there's a big NATO summit, and anyone who's anyone will be there. Anybody who is, anybody will be. Bugsy Malone? No? Anybody? Zoomers won't know that. Okay. Big NATO summit next week. And of course, Trump will be there and everyone will be there. And it's sort of Mark Rutger's job, isn't it, to sort of boost NATO and do the best he possibly can for NATO and basically try and corral cats, keep them all on the same page where possible, and make Trump happy, ultimately. Because most of the funding for NATO comes from the United States. If the United States were to sort of unilaterally pull out of it, or like Trump did with the UN, just said, right, we're cutting the vast amount of your spending, 90% plus or whatever. We're just not giving you endless millions or billions every year. You'll have to survive on a shoestring. Let's see if you do survive. That's what Trump has done with the UN. Brilliant, in my opinion. Brilliant. Mark Rutger and all the leadership of NATO itself would hate for Trump to do that to NATO. So he's making the argument that like, you know, like, dear America, dear Mr. Trump, you don't want to pull out of NATO or just reduce NATO, shrink NATO down to a tiny kernel of what it once was, because there's so many jobs that are dependent on it in the US. That wouldn't bode well for you and the Republicans at the ballot box next time, would it, if you were to do something like that? We buy $300 billion worth of stuff off of you, Mr. Trump, so, you know, don't shoot the golden goose in the head with an automatic shotgun. Okay, all right. Farage's payment for promoting gold dealer doubles to £22,500 per hour. Huh. Good gig if you could get it. I'll talk about this a bit because it's on some of the other front pages in a minute, on some of the more sloppy tabloid ones. First of all, I would say, me personally, I'm not sort of, it's okay, you're allowed to, if there's no conflict of interest, that's okay. I mean, it's in a little bit bad taste. If I ever found myself in office, I would deliberately not make loads of money out of other things on the side, just because it's, like I say, it's in a bit bad taste. Even if there's the slightest hint, even the merest hint of a conflict of interest, I wouldn't do it if I was in office. Just wait until you're out of office, and then you can make loads of money until the cows come home, with no holes barred, no strings attached. But whilst you're actually in office. All right, so the story just is. And I don't want it to come across as just like, because sometimes some of these articles come across as just whoever's writing it. Are you just jealous? Are you just jealous that Nigel gets to make loads of money? Some of these articles, when you read them, is a bit like that. Okay, so he did like 12 hours, apparently, something like, he did 12 hours odd work for this company called like Direct Bullion or something. A gold company, a bullion company. And they paid him like 270 grand for that. Something like that. And anyway, it works out at £22,500 per hour. Yeah, good work if you can get it, right? Good luck to you. If you can find someone that's prepared to give you that much money for that little amount of work, well done. That's what I say. The only problem is there any sort of conflict of interest? I suspect not in this case, like a bullion company. How could there really be? Unless Nigel gets into power and then is like, right, we're going to cut all taxed corporate tax or whatever for gold bullion companies, then it would be weird and suspicious. But he hasn't said he will do that, and he probably won't do that. So, all right. Nigel must be a very rich man. I think, you know, getting paid as an MP, you get, what, 90-odd grand, 100 grand, I don't know, something in that ballpark. He gets a couple of million a year from GB News. He does a number of things like this, 100 grand here, 200 grand there. That billionaire gave him 5 million the other day, didn't he? You don't remember that one? He's got to make up for the losses for Cameo, though. He was sort of making 70 quid a pop on Cameo, wasn't he? Just saying weird things. Got to make up for that shortfall. No, my opinion is good luck to him if there's nothing nefarious going on. That's what I say about that 5 million as well. I could or would dunk on Farage on legitimate political reasons, but if there's nothing legitimate, what is this? Just sour grapes? I don't know. But the other papers talk about it. All right, Mirror. The Mirror. Hopes of nation with three lions main men. Main as in a lion's mane. Because we got, look, on our badge, there's three lions there. They're like the Plantagenet lions. Or are they originally from Aquitaine? Anyway, three lions on a shirt. That's our badge. So these are like lions, aren't they? Lions of men playing football. Lions have a mane, don't they? Male lions. They're our main men. You get it. But the Mirror. The Mirror's got Farage derangement syndrome, isn't it? Real bad. Man with no shame, they call him. That's their editorial line. He's a man with no shame, apparently. Same gold Farage. Like, same old Farage. They've put a G in it. Same gold Farage. Very clever wordplay. Very, very clever. Reform UK chief pockets 270 grand for 12 hours as a bullion ambassador. He rakes in 22,500 pounds an hour on top of MP pay. And that infamous £5 million gift. Yeah. He's not poor. That's the other thing I feel like. Maybe I'm not ambitious enough in life. If I was a millionaire, even a low millionaire, once I've got a house, or even two, you've got like three or four, half a dozen cars you want. And then on top of all of that, on top of everything you really want within reason, you're also sitting on liquid savings of a few million pounds. Once you're in that position, God, wouldn't it be nice? Once you're in that position, personally, I wouldn't be scrimping and saving and doing things to try and earn another 100 grand here or there, another 70 quid here or there, another 22 grand here or there. I just wouldn't. I'd just be like, well, no, money's not a problem now. I don't need to compromise or sacrifice anything for a little bit more money. But it's just a bit greedy, isn't it? Like that 200, did Nigel really need that 270 grand? I mean, 270 grand is not to be sniffed at. Come on. Even if you're a low millionaire, who's going to really turn their nose up at 270 grand? If you're a normal person, if not everything you do and say isn't highly politically sensitive. But it is, Nigel is, isn't he? Does he really need that 270 grand? Doesn't he make over 2 million just from GB News? A year, isn't it? I don't know. Something like that. I read it once somewhere. Would you sacrifice your sort of, your integrity and headlines like this, front pages like this? Would you risk, if you were Nigel, would you risk front pages like this for 270 grand? I don't think I would. Well, I wouldn't. Anyway, there you go. It's probably, well, it's kind of a nothing burger, isn't it? They're just trying to dunk on him like they do with Rupert. Just trying to dunk on him with anything, whether there's anything really there. Because there's nothing illegal about this. He's completely registered it normally and properly, and it's all above board. There's nothing illegal about it, as far as we know. And again, unless he gets into government and helps gold bullion companies unnecessarily. But as it stands, nothing illegal with it. Are they just jealous that he gets to make loads of money? Feels like that a bit, doesn't it, to me? Okay, all right. The Sun. Quickly go over it. It's just football. England versus Congo. It's tonight, by the way. It's 5 p.m. British time. England play Congo. England are like fourth best team in the world, and Congo are like 41st or something. We should beat them. It's a knockout game, though. If England lose, that's it. You're out for the World Cup. The last 32. Okay. We are the lions that roar. Are you? Are you? Should win that game. That's all I'll say. Move on. Oh, this is the star. This is a really tortured headline, this. License to Thrill. Oh, okay. Jude Bellingham said he wouldn't mind playing James Bond. Right, he's one of our football players, this guy. He said he wouldn't mind playing James Bond. So, the star's gone with License to Thrill. Because remember, there was that James Bond film, License to Kill. Dr. Congno. Remember, there's a James Bond film called Dr. No. Dr. Congno. That's extremely tortured, isn't it? Dr. Congno Jude, I'd love to play 007. Now, Mr. Bond, we expect you to score. Remember in Goldfinger, when Sean Connery says, you expect me to talk, Goldfinger? He says, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Now, Mr. Bond, we expect you to score a goal. Dr. Congno, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. All right, there's the front pages. Increasingly absurd front pages. Quite enough of that. All right. Shall we have a look at our poll? We did a poll. All right, just shy of 1,000, just ticking up to 1,000 votes in. We asked you guys, is air conditioning right wing? Oh, because that was a little bit of a debate at the end of the tail end of last week or over the weekend and Monday. A few people, weirdo leftist reds, traitors, enemies of the people, were trying to argue that it is. In Britain, only in Britain though. In Britain, if you're a normal person, having air conditioning is wrong-headed and or sort of right-wing in some way. The argument being something like, there's climate change going on. Air conditioners use power. So, if you get aircon, regardless of whether you can pay for it, if you get aircon or use aircon, you're damaging the environment and you're some sort of racist, right-wing, bigot, something or other. It doesn't make any sense, obviously, does it? I think Carl made a video. You know Carl? Carl Benjamin? Sargon Rickard? Do you know him? I think he made a video looking at that Yasmin Ali Baba Brown. That horrible woman of... I think she's like Indian ethnicity, but was born and raised in, what was it, Uganda. Went to uni in Uganda, didn't leave Uganda till she was in her early 20s and came here. Now she tries to tell us exactly what to do and think, what we can or can't do and think. Like, she's the arbiter of all things. And you're obviously a fifth columnist, Yasmin. Fifth columnist. Ugh, go back to where you came from. This isn't your country. This isn't your country, love. Trying to tell us, oh, it's okay for, what, like, India, China, the rest of the world to have aircon. It's okay for institutions, like hospitals or whatever. But normal people, just normal private individuals in Britain, no, that's wrong-headed, that's wrong. What are you talking about? Psycho. Absolute psycho. Just anything that makes that undermines us, that hurts us, that makes us less comfortable. Anything. Doesn't have to make sense. The argument itself doesn't have to make any sense. Right. So on our poll, is air conditioning right wing? Only 67% of you say no. 33% of you say yes. Surely that's being trolled a bit there. I would hope, I would think. A mere 67. I thought we were teeing it up for you to give me a good 90% plus on that one. Okay. Changing mood among the glorious band, The Chosen Few. 33% of you, though. What, why? Why do you think it's right wing? What are you... Weird. All right, fine. All right, let's have a look at... We're checking with the price of crude, don't we? Most days on The Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo... Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC, don't you forget about me. Alright, what have we got? West Texas, shy of $70 a barrel. $69.50 a barrel for West Texas. Brent, just over $73 a barrel. So, much less, significantly, not much, but so significantly less than when the war with Persia started in February. it was around roughly, there isn't just one average number, but roughly it was about $78 a barrel at that point in time. It's now, what, 70-odd? Does that translate into how much you pay at the pump for your petrol or diesel? Not really. Okay, let's have a look at some of the other... Let's have a look at the websites, what other stories were there of note. The boss of Superdryer is a rapist, apparently. Not good, is it? Why are Gen Z... I won't say Gen Z. Why are Gen Z are planning for life without state pension? Yeah, because it's not likely to get one, is it? Meanwhile, boomers and their triple lock, they'll spurge out if there's even a hint, a suggestion that they don't get their triple lock pensions. But young people staring down the barrel of not getting one at all. Why are Gen Z are planning for life without a state pension? Yeah, because they probably won't need one. I suspect I, in my mid-40s, 44, don't expect to get a penny from my state pension by the time I reach... I can't even remember how old it is when you're allowed it. It used to be 70. I think now it's like 75. Is it even older? It might be 76, 77. Every few years, they add another year on it. By the time I get there, I suspect you'll have to be very old, like 80, 85. Or there'll just be no state pension. There'll just be no state pension because the state is essentially bankrupt. And that's for me in my mid-40s. If you're young, if you're like 22, yeah, it's a realistic possibility there just won't be any state pension, even though they keep taking money out of your PAYE every year for it, every month. Joel has finally landed his first graduate engineering job after several years of lower paid roles. He is in his early 20s, living with his parents and works in London. But instead of splashing the extra cash or saving up for holidays or a house deposit, he's decided to squirrel more of it away into his workplace pension. Well, it's only prudent. It's not fair, it's not, is it? The generations before had it a bit easier, a lot easier. But yeah, I would say that to anyone as well. If your work offers you a workplace pension, and they say, do you want to put any of your money into it every month? And if you do, sort of, how much, basically? Put as much as you can in. Even if you're in your early 20s, yeah. That's the prudent thing to do. It really, really is. It's dumb not to, in my opinion. Like I said, if you've ever got access money, ever, it's just sitting in your bank account and you're like, well, I don't know what to do with it. Shall I like buy something with it? Oh, I've actually got a bit of money. Wow. Very few of us find us in that position, don't we? But if you have, put it in at least a cash ISA. At least. Well, meaning that any capital gains you get on it isn't taxed. Again, it's just prudent. There's a cap on how much you can put in an ISA each year. If you can do that. Same with any sort of workplace pension, yeah. Because you probably won't get a state pension, I would have thought. At some point in the 2030s or the 2040s, perhaps the 2050s, the public purse will be so ridiculously overstretched, they'll just say, I'm afraid that all these different types of people, we're just not going to be able to give you a pension when you get to pension age, state pension when you get to that age. And then after that, it'll be no one gets in. That's not fear-mongering, I don't think. I think that's just what is sort of almost hard baked into everything at the moment. Meanwhile, Trump and his family made more than $1 billion from crypto in first year back in office. Nice, isn't it? Money breeds money, doesn't it? Always does. Again, there's nothing, he hasn't broken the law or anything. He's already extremely, extremely rich and you invest hundreds of billions of pounds in something and that thing goes up. Yeah, you make a billion. Boom. So yeah, here we go. Look, US President Donald Trump made more than $1 billion or £750 million last year from business dealings in cryptocurrency, according to his mandatory financial reports for 2025. In a 927-page disclosure, he reported $635 million in royalties from a Trump meme coin. You know, I didn't even know. Oh, no, I did. Yeah, there's a Trump coin. That has plunged in value since he launched it days before taking office. He also reported over $500 million in income from World Liberty Financial, a cryptocurrency firm founded by his own sons and the children of his special envoy, Steve Witkoff. Yeah, Trump Jr. Donald Trump's son, one of Donald Trump's son, Trump Jr. and Steve Witkoff make loads and loads and loads of money, effectively off daddy's investments. There you go, money breeds money. It really does. It's an old cliche, but it's true. Once you've got a certain amount of money and you play your cards right, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. As long as you play your cards right, if you know what you're doing. Okay. He, Donald Trump, earned millions more from real estate and Trump-themed items. But the White House denied he was profiting from the presidency. The earnings from his latest financial disclosure far outpaced the previous ones for 2024, when Trump disclosed over $600 million of income. But the White House, which has repeatedly emphasized that Trump has placed his businesses in a trust managed by his sons, again denied any conflict of interest. Yeah, that's the thing. When you become president and other very high offices in the United States, I think by law you're not allowed to like control loads of businesses. There's certain things you're just not allowed to do. But what you can do is just sign it over to someone else in your family, like your son or your son-in-law or something. You just say, we'll sign the right papers in the right order, and you nominally, on paper, you control it and you own it. And then when I'm out of office again, though, we can reverse that stuff often. Right. Relatively easy to get around. Okay, there was a three-year-old rescued from Venezuela after 6 days. Remarkable. You can only imagine this poor child somehow had access to water or moisture or liquid in some way. Normal, you can't survive for 6 days with no water. So 6 days, that's sort of the upper outer limit of being able to save anyone. I mean, finding anyone alive. okay, so they're saying there's at least 2,000 people dead, and they think maybe as many as, it will go up to as many as 10,000 or 10,000 more. And there's still 10,000 on top of that that are unaccounted for. Bad one. Is it too soon to start talking about housing regs in Venezuela? Well, it's not too soon. No, why not? No. Different countries in the world have got different levels of scrutiny when it comes to building regulations, haven't they? So like Japan, for example, well-known, famous sort of place that suffers from earthquakes. And they build their buildings as much as possible to be sort of earthquake-proof, you know, built into the designs of the building to be able to take a quake. Unless it's too big. Venezuela hadn't done that, had it? I mean, because ever since Chavez, they have been communist. Ever since Chavez, just haven't got the money and resources to do that. One of the things communism, even hardline socialism, leads to very, very quickly is the cutting of corners. If Maoist-era China isn't a perfect example of that. Harry. That one. There's an 18-part series on my history theme channel, History Bro, talking about Chairman Mao. An 18-part series. They're like half hour apiece. Like 9, knocking 10 hours talking about Chairman Mao. Particularly the Great Leap Forward. Perfect example of how the economy and everything starts falling apart very, very quickly because leftist economic theory is nonsense. Only leads to collapse. So you start cutting corners very quickly, whether it's the building of just normal buildings or whether it's a dam, whatever it is, manufacturing steel, whatever it is, they just cut corners and it's all slapdash and shoddy and doesn't really work properly. Net result, you have some bad weather, you have a flood, you have an earthquake. Put that picture up again, Harry. Would this happen in Japan? No. Well done, Chavez. Well done, Maduro. Brilliant. All right. Terrible shame. average, completely innocent people of Venezuela suffering again because of leftism. All right. Mexico beat Ecuador. If we beat the Democratic Republic of Congo, we might well play Mexico. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say. I'll move on. Don't worry about it. Okay. Channel 4 going a bit of berserk about the black hole in the spending budget for the military. Starmer says UK must prepare for war with £15 billion defence promise. Next story, Starmer's £15 billion defence plan. Is it enough to protect Britain? Next story, the Defence Secretary says UK is not lagging behind European neighbours. Next story, has the UK learned the wrong lessons from Russia-Ukraine war? And on and on. They're going a bit berserk about it. Channel 4 News. Channel 4 News, the TV equivalent of The Guardian. Absolute subversion. They hate this country. Pure sort of Fabian leftist freaks control Channel 4. Look, there's a big gold statue of Donald Trump holding a Bitcoin. How much has he made in crypto in the last year? Well, about $1 billion. Go this story. The Mail. The Mail Group. This is horrible. This is just horrible. Right, look at this. Woman, 31, identified as alligator attack victim, killed after predator ripped off both her arms. As nightmarish new detail of her final moments are revealed. Imagine the poor family, friends and family of this woman. It's not bad enough that she got killed by an alligator, but you have to see a headline like that. Could it be more distressing and humiliating? In Florida, look, the little thing says, a medical examiner's report obtained by the Daily Mail has given details about the... Okay, so the Daily Mail was shameless enough to go out of their way to find the medical examiner's report. Right? Shameless enough to do that in the first place. Then they found out it was something particularly gruesome and horrible. She had both her arms ripped off. And they're like, print. You disgusting freaks. Yeah, put that top. Yeah, we'll print that. We'll go with that. And put it top of the website, please. Scum. The Mail Group are scum. Absolute filth. Okay. Here's a slightly more interesting story, as far as I'm concerned. Look, archaeologists claim they may have uncovered ruins linked to the Ark of the Covenant. Not the Ark of the Covenant itself, but ruins connected to it. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was only ever supposed to be a box, ornate and or golden as it might be, which held the Ten Commandments that God supposedly gave Moses. And archaeologists in Israel say there's some place in the West Bank where they think maybe it was a building connected to, not the tabernacle, surely, not the tabernacle. Wouldn't that have been in the first temple in Jerusalem? Wasn't the first temple destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon in like the 580s BC? It just doesn't smell right to me, this. But okay. All right, should we move on to this day in history? While we're talking about history, should we just move on to that? You guys seem to like that. I think I quite like doing that bit. It's already gone 10-2. All right. On this day, the 1st of July, down through the centuries, what happened of note? On this day in the year 1690, army of Protestant King William III of Orange defeated deposed Roman Catholic King James II in the Battle of the Boyne at Oldbridge in Ireland. So that's one of those turning points in history, isn't it? Where Protestants love it and Catholics hate it. Catholics mourn the Battle of the Boyne. And Protestants are like, yeah, go Protestantism. To make it clear, I'm neither Catholic nor Protestant. So just be clear. Sometimes, whenever I talk about, for example, I've been doing Henry VIII recently on my history thing show, Bodade's Epochs, on loadseaters.com behind the paywall. Do consider sign up for as little as £5 a month voluntary membership. I've been doing Henry VIII recently. And of course, I'm talking about the Reformation there quite often. Well, a lot. England's break with Rome and the age of Luther and Calvin and all that sort of thing. So, and then I'll talk about it. I'll explain the Protestant, the Lutheran position. And Catholics get angry about it. Like I'm denigrating their religion in some way. It's like, no, I'm just explaining the history. Calm down. I'm not actually a practicing Christian either way. So I'm just telling you what the history is. So there, before Catholics get up in arms that I'm sort of pro-William of Orange, that I love the Battle of the Boyne and that the Catholics lost. No, it's just what it is. Okay. All right, on this day in 1858, joint reading of Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace, who also came up with almost the exact same idea about evolution as Charles Darwin at about the same time. The joint reading of their papers on evolution to the Linnean Society renders audience awestruck and silent. Because if you actually read their arguments, if you actually read them, The Origin of the Species or something, or some of the arguments made in The Voyage of the Beagle, I mentioned The Voyage of the Beagle yesterday, didn't I? It's fairly difficult to refute. It's pretty much stage by stage by stage, each thing you can't really refute. Like, for example, in The Voyage of the Beagle, there's a lot about, like, the different beaks of birds. How different birds have got a different design, a different shape of beak for different things. And where they're found in the world, and you can show that, look, this beak changed into this slightly different shape because of this reason. And on and on and on. And then you extrapolate that out. Anyway. Audiences were rendered awestruck and silent. Okay. On this day in 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg. Ah, great set piece. Fascinated by the American Civil War. I've said it a number of times. I'll mention it again. My first ever video, like what, knocking 10 years ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago. My first ever video on the internet, on History Bro, was about the Civil War, American Civil War. The Battle of Gettysburg begins in Pennsylvania. Union forces halt Confederate General Robert E. Lee, Granny Lee. That's a term of endearment, by the way. His army in Northern Virginia. It was the last time the South sort of penetrated into the territory of what was supposed to be being held by the Union. I've got really long form content about Ulysses S. Grant. Got content about Lincoln. Got content about various things to do with the Civil War. And of course, Gettysburg. It's sort of the turning point. It's something like, the parallel isn't perfect by any stretch, but something like Stalingrad, where, you know, in World War II, the Nazis after Stalingrad never held the sort of strategic momentum ever again. It's the same with Gettysburg. After Gettysburg, the Confederates were never able to sort of take the war to the Union again, because that's what they had been doing in the Shenandoah Valley, in Northern Virginia, all over the place. The armies of the South were able to sort of punch the North. After Gettysburg, all that was finished, really. Well, because in the end, it was a win for the Union and for the North. Shelby Foote, the great Shelby Foote, the late great historian Shelby Foote, said that the Union fought that war with one arm tied behind its back. If the South had won more battlefield victories, and a lot more, then the Union, the North, would simply have taken that other arm out from behind its back and gone on a full war footing. And Shelby Foote, who knows his stuff, one of the greatest Civil War historians ever to have lived, said that the South never really had a realistic chance to win that war. Perhaps after Bull Run, the first battle of Bull Run at the very, very Manassas, at the very, very beginning of the war, the very, very beginning, maybe the South could have taken Washington. But I mean, the industrial output of New York State was many times more than the whole of the South. The North had more men, more resources, more industry, more money, by a long way. Okay, all right, Gettysburg, one of the greatest battles in the American Civil War. Okay, on this day in 1867, the Dominion of Canada is formed, comprising the provinces of New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Ontario, and Quebec, with John A. Macdonald serving as the first Prime Minister. There you go. So, and to this day, they've still got, like, the king or the queen on their money, aren't they? They're still part of the Commonwealth, Canada. Okay, but they were given basically largely or almost entirely independence back in the 19th century. All right, on this day in 1916, first day of the Battle of the Somme in World War One, the British Army suffers its worst day ever, that is, worst day ever in terms of casualties, losing 19,240 men. That's dead. Casualties, it was more like 60,000. Imagine that, 60,000 battlefield casualties in one day. The worst day for the British Army. I mean, the surrender at Singapore was pretty bad, but here's like the actual casualties. Astronomical. To try and take pressure off Verdun. I've got loads of content all about World War One. Loads. Did a whole a mini-series about Verdun. What was it, at the end of last year? And that the Somme, in some ways, on the sort of the grand strategic level, was to try and take pressure off of Verdun. Force the Germans to move divisions away from the Verdun front up to the Somme front. But it was just 1916, the battles of 1916 was already 1914 and 15 seemed like the worst, most catastrophic thing humans could do to each other. And then 1916, it just ramps up orders of magnitude more. Yeah, the Somme. First day at the Battle of the Somme. Crazy. Crazy thing. No more brother wars, that's what I say. On this day in 1997, the United Kingdom returns Hong Kong and the new territories to People's Republic of China. Didn't they say that yesterday? Maybe yesterday was the signing of it and today was the actual day when it actually formally happened. Anyway. All right, there you go. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen for the Rumble Rants. Will Global Church History be in at number one? Or if it goes over onto YouTube, let's have a look. Oh no, he's there. The reigning, defending, and still champion of the Rumble Rants on the Bow Show. Global Church History. How are you, sir? Thank you for a bit. You got to respect the grind. Got to respect the grind every morning. What's this? 6:45 in the morning, he sent that. Do you live west? Do you live somewhere in Europe or further west so it's not actually that early for you? Or are you in Britain and you're just a really, really early bird? Okay. Respect the grand. You say, today in 69 AD, Vespasian was made Roman Emperor. Yeah, great, Vespasian. Yeah, one of the all-time greats. It's the end of the Julio-Claudian dynasty, isn't it, Vespasian? On my show Behind the Paywall, Epochs. Do you think I'm still called about the Year of the Four Emperors? The end of Nero, the Year of the Four Emperors, and Vespasian? Long-form content. A few hours of me talking all about that in detail. Quoting from Suetonius and Tacitus and Plutarch and things like that. Oh, it's there. £5 a month. Vespasian, yeah. So starting that whole dynasty. Well, it was only three, wasn't it? His son Titus and then Domitian after him. But Vespasian. Classic one, I can't really go into it here. I'd love to just talk for the next 40 minutes about Vespasian. But I can't, it's already gone 9. But trust me, there's some content there talking about it if you're interested. Okay, one of the all-time greats. Okay. And then the other factoid Global Church History gives us this morning is on this day in 1535, St. Thomas More was put on trial for treason. Talk all about Thomas More as well. And I'll talk about more about it in Henry and have talked more about it in just recent weeks doing the Henry VIII thing. But I've got whole long form content just talking about Thomas More. He was in conversation with Luca Johnson. You know Luca Johnson off lotuseaters.com? He's good. He knows his stuff. He's well read, very well read. We looked at the play and film A Man for All Seasons, which is all about Thomas More and Henry VIII. And we broke it down, both the play, the made for TV version and the film version and the real history, all about Thomas More. So that's there if you're interested. St. Thomas More, if you're a Catholic, he's a saint, isn't he? Okay. Jeffrey Furnell says, Reform want a general election because they've peaked. Feels that way, doesn't it? If they were a Tory government, they'd call an election if there was an R in the month. Labour and Burnham are going to hold on for dear life. Yeah, I would have thought so. Burnham's basically ruled it out, it seems, almost certainly, made a number of noises that he's not going to call a general election. He's just going to hold on for dear life, just sit there like a cuckoo in the nest, a man without a mandate, the Messiah without a mandate. Okay, Pigdog5150 says, limit of permissibility amongst the populace. Two-year-old baby raped and killed by invader. Little girl slashed. One over 100 times. What is the limit? It's depressing. Where is the justice? Jesus help us. Yeah, so for these people, open borders, psychos, there is no limit. There is no limit. Now, you'll mention a litany, an actual laundry list of atrocities and crimes. They don't care. They don't care. They'll just accuse you of reciting that laundry list as you're being divisive. That's the problem, that you've noticed and talk about it. There's no limit. There's no limit. Now, you must just accept it. The limit of permissibility. Well, among the general populace, though, that's the question you asked, there will be a limit, won't there? It's actually a pressure cooker, isn't it? They're desperately trying to keep the lid on the pressure cooker that's threatening to blow up at all times. But the ones that defend it, leftists, you know, people like, I don't know, Owen Jones or all that debonair woman, whatever her name is. Yasmin Ali Baba Brown, whatever, Christian Guru Murphy, Lisa Nandy, whoever, all of them, the people at Hope Not Hate or the Runnymede Trust, people that are the editors for The Guardian or The Metro, whatever, all these people, there's no limit. You can only surmise it's what they want, that they're happy, they're gleeful about it. Rhiannon White's murder, they're like, oh, well, don't question diversity, though. It's horrible, isn't it? We're dealing with an implacable, evil enemy. Both evil and implacable. Right. The next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The next 8 are all from Luke Stewart. So I'll whip through them if you don't mind. Because I've got to do more recording today. I can't be here till sort of 9:30, 9:45. Right. Luke Street, 91. St. Luke. Luke Stewart says, oil is going to skyrocket in Australia. They've decided to bring back part of the fuel tax. Ugh. Horrible. Stupid. Insane. We have something similar. Superannuation. 9% of our earnings go into it. I guess you're talking about a pension. I'm convinced the government's going to start taxing it because they're running out of money to pay their immigrant pets. Yeah, exactly like here. Yeah, exactly like here. They'll rob you of the money you've paid in for a state pension to give to your invaders. The injustice of it. Funny they haven't talked about Nancy Pelosi and all the Democrats that made their money through investments and stocks. Yeah. They're going to moan about Trump or Trump's children and stepchildren making money legitimately. Not a peep about Nancy and Paul Pelosi. Oh, Paul Pelosi is one of the greatest all-time stock pickers of all time. He outperforms true geniuses like Warren Buffett or something. He's one of the greatest stock pickers of all time. Paul Pelosi. His financial acumen is just razor sharp. That's all that is. Certainly not that he got any sort of inside information from Nancy. No. That didn't happen. Sure. Paul Pelosi can just basically see the future. That's how good he is. That's how good he is. He can see into the future, essentially. All right. I forget if it was China Uncensored or the China Show was talking about this a lot, of the other buildings did poorly where Chinese construction. Google Tofu Drag for more information. He's talking about all the buildings that fell down in Venezuela. That a lot of them were built by the Chinese in some way. Interesting, I've not heard of that before. Interesting. Yeah, it's not as bad nowadays, But back before the 1980s, China's building of things was pure clown shoes. Absolute clown shoes. Back in the 50s and 60s, they insisted on making their own steel, and the steel was insanely poor, the quality of it. And then they'd build loads of things out of it, and they'd just fall down all the time. Let alone if there was an earthquake or a flood or anything. Okay. Luke again. I wonder if they realise that Britain can't draft the native population because they'll just be arming their own insurrection force. They can only be able to pull from migrants, women, and homosexuals. You use a different word, but for T's and C's, I'll just say homosexuals. A bit like in Germany, where Germany said, we don't want to just give loads of people, whether they're migrants or not, we don't want to just give them loads of arms. The implication being that they'll be turned against them at some point, possibly, for endlessly trying to ruin the country. All right, the last one from Luke here says, I hope they do find the Ark of the Covenant. We can open it and get rid of a lot of problems by forcing certain people to keep their eyes open, like in Clockwork Orange. So that's a mashup there of Raiders of the Lost Ark and Clockwork Orange. If anyone doesn't know, Harry, do you know Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I know of it.
Okay. You're not aware of the scene at the end where if there's evil in your heart and you look at the Ark of the Covenant, you melt. Your face melts and burns away.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you look at it. So in Clockwork Orange, they had those special things that keep your eyeballs open. Luke Stewart says we can solve a lot of our problems that way. Okay, quite funny. And the last three Rumble rants for today are all from PigDog5150 again. You say, traitors in the US Supreme Court. Failed re-day of voting and birthright citizenship. Failed with regards to day of voting and birthright citizenship. Yeah, that was another one they did about late postal ballots. The Supreme Court said, no, that's allowed. I think that was the case. Apologies if I get any of those details are so slightly wrong, but they said something like, no, that's allowed. It's like Western government wants open rebellion. It feels like that, isn't it? They're goading people. They're goading the general populace. Just keep poking us. How much will you take? Pig Dog again says, Fat Sam's Grand Slam, banger. I sang a tiny bit of that, didn't I, earlier? Did I? I think I did. Fat Sam's Grand Slam. Speakeasy. Fat Sam's Grand Slam, banger. We could have been anything that we wanted to be. Another hit. Yeah, Bugsy Malone. Anyone who hasn't watched it, great film, Bugsy Malone. Usually I don't like musicals. There's only a few exceptions. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. A lot of musicals I don't like particularly. Most of them. Bugsy Malone is an exception. Bugsy Malone's well good, I reckon. Okay. Pig Dog again says, not forgetting tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Oh, that's another song from Bugsy Malone. Oh, Pig Dog's obviously a massive Bugsy Malone fan. I like it. I dig it. As they say, another working day and another chore tomorrow, an awful price to pay. I gave up one yesterday, but they still want more. Yeah, it's one of the sad, slower ones from Bugsy Malone, isn't it? Okay. And the final one here, again from Pig Dog, says, if the crazy leftists reject aircon and the same right wing accept it, then is it right wing? Okay, yeah, sorry. The right wing, left wing thing. Okay. And so let's do our YouTube super chats. Harry, you need to bring that up on. You have the power. Unlimited power. Oh, there he is. You've done it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Quite a few here. 20-odd, 15, 20-odd. Okay, let's do them. Our Rob or Ross says, read the poll. Air conditioning isn't right wing in and of itself. It's common sense, and in today's world, that makes it de facto right wing. Right, yeah, I mean, yeah, that is sort of the angle, isn't it? It's like, they'll try to make the argument that, like, maths is right wing and bigoted and racist. Maths. Being on time is bigoted and racist and right wing. Having aircon. You might think I've just made that up, but that's so absurd. No. A year or two ago, there was articles to that effect. using the right tool for the right job is racist and right wing. Absolutely insane. Right. User, and then just a whole string of letters and numbers. So their name is just User. Says, yes, give Ukraine money. Let them fight the Russians for you. Or do you want your friends and family to get drafted into a larger European war? I completely reject the entire framing of what you're talking about there. I don't accept any of that. Now, we shouldn't give Ukraine money. We shouldn't make anyone else fight Russians. And I don't think that our friends and family are going to be drafted into a larger European war because I don't buy the narrative that Mr. Putin wants to invade Belarus and Poland and whatever, and the Baltics and East Germany. No, I completely reject. Thanks for the $5 there, user, but I just completely reject everything you're saying there. I think it's nonsense. I think you've bought into a lie. Okay, Mr. Dickie Bingo says, Stalin will be living and working in the EU and getting drafted by a van der Leyen well before a bum ham has his slippers under the bed at number 10. Yeah. Stalin as in Keir Stalin. Starmer. Keir Starmer. He'll be working at the EU, yeah. There's a story the other day about that Starmer or Starmer's people were making noises that they want him to be the next leader of NATO. It's currently Mark Rutte guy, wasn't it, who used to be the Prime Minister of Holland, or the Netherlands. But he'll have to retire or move on at some point. And Keir Starmer wants that job. It's a weird mismatch, isn't it? That one of the main reasons his government finally fell is because he's not spending enough on defence. He's not a hawk, is he? Starmer. He's far from a war hawk. And that is part of the role to be the head of NATO, is to be very, very hawkish all the time. Is that a good fit for Starmer? Okay, but he'll probably get a whole number of sweet jobs. Perhaps at the EU, yeah. Because the EU love him because he does their bidding, because he's a WEF puppet, isn't he? But even failing that, if you've been Prime Minister, you can easily go to some massive company, some massive multinational, you know, whether it's Exxon or BP or Boeing or whatever. BAE Systems, some giant company, JP Morgan, and just say, you put me on your board as a special advisor and just pay me millions of pounds a year, and I don't do very much at all. Simple. Okay, Aristotle Luton says, all right, Bo, all right. Rumours of a coup against Zelensky. Oh, I haven't seen that recently in the news. Is there? Huh. Okay, I have to see about that. I'll look into that today. See if it makes any of the legacy corporate mainstream media tomorrow. But I'll look into that. You just say rumours, though. Who knows? Sometimes things happen on Twitter and they are just not real. That is definitely a thing as well, isn't it? A lot of breaking news, real news, breaks on Twitter. But there's also a lot of bull plop as well, isn't there? We shall see. That's interesting, though. If you're saying, even if there's rumours, it's interesting, isn't it? All right, we shall see. CatCora7805 says, morning, Bo. Morning. Have you heard of Polish MP Dominik Zero, like his nickname, Dominik Zero Tarczyński? Tarczyński? If he's the based one, is he the based one? Who was banned by Kier for entering Britain. Yeah, I know of him, yeah. For UTK. Yeah, I know of that guy, yeah. Dominik said he will sue Starmer. You put Stalin. He will sue Starmer. And now retweeted, see you in court, loser. Yeah, I saw that. That was a few days ago, wasn't it? A few days ago. Yeah. I wonder if he'll be successful. It's interesting. I wonder if he'll be successful. Wasn't that Puerto Rican American woman threatened the same thing, that she wasn't allowed to go to that last Tommy rally? She was prevented from joining the country. And she threatened to cross the channel on a small boat. And then if they tried to prosecute her in any way or anything, she would take them to court or something. Was that right? I can't remember. All right. But if that Polish MP were actually going to sue Keir Starmer himself, interesting to see if that happens. Loafer Sheffield, super fan. How are you, Loafer? Hope you're all good this morning. Says Baldy. He always calls me Baldy. I don't know it. Term of endearment, really. I've come to terms with my baldness many years ago. Baldy McCubal. I gave myself that moniker on State of Politics. State of Politics. Didn't seem to catch on, but okay. Baldy. often like late at night on Twitter is like, all right, that's my last tweet for the night. Night night, Baldy. He's a super fan. Loafer Sheffield says, July the 1st, 110th anniversary of the Somme. So many books. A starter, Martin Middlebrook. Oh yeah, he loves his World War One stuff. Loafer. Loves it. Martin Middlebrook, first day of the Somme. Epochs, please. Or I'll send you an Ottoman land for a hair transplant. I'll send you to Ottoman land, Turkey, for a hair transplant. You can get cheap hair transplants in Turkey. Many have. I was going to name a few names there, but I won't. An epochs on the Somme. Yeah, well, I probably will do at some point. But when I did, I think I've said this before, when I did my long, it wasn't that long, 4 or 5 part series on Verdun, at the end of last year, was it? It was like one of the most grueling set of epochs I've ever done. It was because some of them are easier and even fun to do an epochs. I already know everything really about it, and I just read a little bit more to brush up, get a few quotes, and it's kind of simplicity just to do an hour talking about something or other. But for that Verdun one, it required loads and loads and loads and loads of reading in order to do it justice. And it was so harrowing. And it was an exercise in leaving loads of stuff out. Because even though I did 4 or 5 parts, that's like 4 or 5 hours worth of or more of content, you still got to leave so much out of that story because there's so much that could be said about Verdun. So it became an exercise in leaving out loads of stuff. And that was difficult. That was hard. That was hard work. And it would be exactly the same with talking about the Somme, wouldn't it? You've got to do more than one episode on it because there's so much that can be said or should be said about it. I'll do it at some point because it's such an important part of British history, the Somme, the Battle of the Somme. I will do it at some point, but not anytime soon. That Verdun one really took energy, loads and loads of time and energy. But I will do it at some point. Okay, next one. LJMV says, Bo, you magnificent man. Thank you. Here's some tea money. Oh, and that's it. They just give a little bit of money for the super chat. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. Very, very kind of you. Okay, where's my mouse? It's gone AWOL. There it is. Okay, and we've got another... Oh, God, got another dozen or more. I'll get through them here. User again said, the left is naive about Islam and immigration. Well, that's true. Gave you a bit of scolding a moment ago, but that is true. The right about the threat of Russia and China. China, I'll give you that one. Why? Because accepting how bad things are is too much. It's a much more reasonable thing to say. Yes, I mean, it's not that I'm pro-Russia. A number of times I've said, Russia is a strategic threat to Britain. Putin himself is a gangster and a murderer. He makes his critics disappear. He poisons them to death. Or they just disappear or they fall out of a window. He's not a good guy. Russia is a strategic enemy of Britain. Remember not that long ago, a few months ago, Russia released some sort of social media video about their new nuke. They've got a new nuke. And to illustrate, just digitally, just with AI-generated images, to illustrate how big the blast would be, they made it look like, what if we dropped a bomb on Downing Street? Yeah, that's real. That's not just made up. They did that. I know it's only a small thing. It's only an AI-generated thing, but it's like, really? You chose to do that? So Russia is a threat. And China, yeah, I'm one of those people, if you watch the Bo Show regularly, I bang the drum about how China is a threat, a real threat. I don't think the right play down the China threat all that much. I don't see many on the right saying, calm down, China are really our friends. It's more on the left that does that, isn't it? It's the left that do that. But yeah, the point you make there about how bad things are, it's just too much. Yeah. Yeah, sort of a fair point. Okay. Tatum says, what would you do if a giant bird... same one that got Harry yesterday, was circling above you and your entire commute to work, an omen or just horrifying? A giant bird. It would be scary. Some sort of giant pterosaur. or just like an eagle, but its wingspan was like 60 feet, and its talons could just easily pluck you off the ground, and its beak is like the size of a T-Rex head, and just rip you to shreds instantly. Yeah, it would be horrifying. Yep. Yeah, it would be. I would duck indoors as quickly as possible if I saw that. It's like, what? What? Yeah, I'm getting undercover until it goes away. Ezek86 says, I got AC aircon 2 weeks ago, and recently the main effect it's had on my increasing... on my is increasing my will on me, I suppose it was supposed to be a typo there. The most effect it's had on me is increasing my will to have Yasmin Ali Baba Brown deported. Yeah. She's not ethnically from Northwest Europe, and she wasn't born here. She didn't come here until she was in her 20s. Yeah. We wouldn't want to break up her family either, would we? Don't break up families. They can all go. Erwin Romulus says, aircon is right wing in the same way that V8 engines and steaks are. Right, yeah. We love them, but the left are too concerned about polar bears and virtue signalling. Yeah. Yeah. Steaks and V8 engines. Completely bigoted. Racist. Right wing. Crazy, isn't it? Field Marshal Dawn Browning. Hoi. Just gives some money and does a hippo emoji. Thank you, love. Appreciate it. Absolutely appreciate it. The Field Marshal there. Thank you, Dawn. Stedman Wheelus says, part of the 33% pollers here, just trolling. Phew. Good morning from Texas again. Ah, the Lone Star State. Lone Star. Your epoch's all about the Alamo. Long form content. Is it an hour and a half or nearly 2 hours talking about the siege of the Alamo? Bo, are you a vampire with such prominent canine teeth? Is why you're so good at history, because you were actually there. Yeah, I say sometimes, don't I? I'm in my 40s, 44 years old. Actually, I'm undead and I've been alive for 600 odd years. No, they're my real canines. Just always had one. Field Marshal Dawn Browning gives another bit of money and another hippo one. Thank you. Appreciate that. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Can't thank you guys enough. All right, the last half dozen or so here. Everybody Hates Bob. That's their name. Everybody Hates Bob says, love your shirt, Bo. Oh, cheers. Cheers. Yeah, this is one of my more expensive ones. Yeah. No, this is a proper dress shirt, this one. I was wearing a shirt the other day. Was it Monday? Where I was wearing a green blazer, a green checkered shirt, and a navy tie. Button down green shirt. That was a fairly cheap shirt. But it was green. I wanted to just be all green that day. It's Wimbledon, first day of Wimbledon. Yeah, this is actually quite an expensive shirt, this one just happens to be. Thank you for noticing. Yeah, okay. User 4491 says, seen trailer for Werewolf. No, same director as The Northman. All right, might be really good then. Well, I haven't seen the trailer or even heard of it. A new film, is it called Werewolf? If it's done by The Northman, it would be quite good. I watched The Northman long after it came out, eventually got round to watching it. I thought it was pretty good. It was pretty good. One of the best things about it was the cinematography. It looked great, right? I'm not sure if the story was amazing. The acting was quite good. The dialogue, meh. It was an alright film. It's totally worth watching. But the cinematography was very, very good, wasn't it? It looked great. So if they're making the same dudes making a werewolf film, might be brilliant. Okay, The K-Man Live says, rumour has it that Charlie Downs is an avid Breakfast with Bo viewer. Hashtag the real BBC. Well, yeah, apparently he does like it and watches it at least sometimes. Well, he's been on, hasn't he? I've had him on twice now. We'll have him on again as well. Yeah, yeah. Great Charlie Downs, the future. As much as people from Hope Not Hate to the Mail to the Express to reform themselves to the online orbiting reform tards, as much as they want to make it out that he's not going to be the future of the right-wing political sphere. He is. He is. He's still very young. Very articulate. Very good. He's very good. He should really be the should be formally named as the deputy leader of Restore, in my opinion. As the heir apparent, in my opinion. Okay, Glyn Scotford says, just to say, I love you, baby Bo. Okay. Report your government to the police for treason, people. A few of us have already. Ah, Glyn, ah. You said the other day that you would go into the police station and try and make a complaint about the government, the crime of the government flooding our country with foreign criminals. And then I saw on Twitter you did do it. You filmed yourself doing it and put it on Twitter. Brilliant. Well done. Brave. Amazing. You know, it won't come to anything, I'm sure. Like, it's not like the police, it's not like the CPS will be like, right, we're prosecuting all the governments from Tony Blair on. But still, it's a statement, isn't it? It's a proper statement. Well done. Good on you. Try and push back where we can. Try and push back where we can. Yeah. Good for you, brother. All right. The last two then. Tatum2733 says, but the bird is obviously following you. What then? Yeah, I'll just duck inside. Near a shop or anything. Or I'll run back home. I'll just get undercover as quickly as possible. That's what I would do. It'd be terrifying. There's a giant bird. Some sort of eagle. It's 10 times bigger than a normal eagle. And it's hovering over you and obviously following you. Yeah, I run and hide. In any fight where you can't win, run away. Classic. Whether it's a street fight or something, there's 3-4 guys trying to beat you up at once and you're on your own. Run away. There's a guy with a knife and you're unarmed. Just run away. There's nothing cowardly about that. Never fight a fight you cannot win. And that's an axiom that goes for... Well, when the Red Baron in World War One, the German flying ace, when he had got a great number of kills, mid-air kills, and a general asked him, said, how have you done it? What's your secret? What's your secret how you've won so many combats and not been killed? So we want to scale that up on for the army on the Western Front in the ground. And von Richthofen said, you won't like the answer. And the general's like, no, tell me. And Richthofen said, well, whenever I think I can't win, I just fly away. Nothing cowardly about it. It's prudent. If you want to live to fight another day, well, then don't fight a fight you cannot win. That would go for a giant eagle 10 times bigger than a normal eagle if it was following you and hovering over you. Run away, run away. Like brave, brave Sir Robin. Just run away. Okay. And the last one here, Shoni C, says, love the suit. Thank you. Sergio Giorgini. Rude. Sergio Giorgini. I can't remember where this one's from. It's right though, it fits well. That's the main thing, right? If you buy a blazer, unless it just happens to fit perfectly, unless it's tailored to you, unless it fits perfectly, go to a tailor and just get it taken in slightly here or there so it fits right. My advice. All right. One more YouTube super chat just popped in, so I may as well read it while we're here. It's from Jonas Hugenboom. Says, have a sore tummy. Like, you have a sore tummy. I'm sorry to hear that. Have a sore tummy, but that means I get to watch Uncle Boski live from Canada. Oh, Canada. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I'm glad you're aboard. All right, that's the show. It's now 33 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on July the 1st in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. Without you, it really isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Carpe diem. Seize the day if you can. I know it's not always easy. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Orders of magnitude more valuable than any gold or gems or treasures you will ever own is your time. Try and make it count. You'll only have this day once in your life. When it's gone, it's gone. All right, don't get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning then, people. Take care.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.